God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, coming from our gospel reading, presents us with a very interesting picture. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, true man, true God, being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And we may ask the question, why? Why did Jesus need to be baptized? As true God, he is perfect, without sin. He is holy. As true man, he is still perfect, without sin, and holy, because he's also true God. Why did he need to be baptized? This begs the question, because we need to be baptized. We need to be baptized because we are not holy, we are not perfect. We need to bear the name of Christ, because when that water was placed upon you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you have your sins forgiven, the faith given to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. You are now a child of God. Wasn't Jesus, from the moment he was born, God's Son? The answer is yes. Even before he was born, he is God. So why did Jesus have to be baptized? In one essence, to show us, as he says in our text, the righteousness. To show us what we need to do. To show us that the righteousness had to be fulfilled. Because how do we get to heaven? Is it by our own works or abilities? The answer is no. We get to heaven by God's grace. We say we are baptized, not just as a sign giving us God's grace. But how often do we sometimes get the roles a little bit reversed? How often in our lives do we think that we are God? Well, we may be saying, Pastor, I don't know about you, but I haven't really thought of myself as God recently. Well, I'm going to challenge you in that. Because within us, and I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit here, within us is that attitude that sometimes comes out that you sound an awful lot, and me included here, sound an awful lot like God. What am I talking about? Well, setting up this scene here, we have, as I was challenging you, Jesus who is holy, who is perfect. Why did he need to be baptized? We are unholy. We're not perfect. We need to be baptized. But how often in our own lives do we come across with the attitude that we are perfect? Let me beg the question this way. Are you a perfectionist? Or maybe I should ask, would some other people say that you are a perfectionist? Maybe that's the better question to ask. And if you're not the perfectionist, or if others don't say you're a perfectionist, do you live with a perfectionist? Do you work with a perfectionist? Do you even know of a perfectionist in the community? And my guess is somewhere along the line, you have come across a perfectionist if you are not one yourself. And if you've come across this perfectionist, very often you've been driven crazy by this perfectionist. There's nothing wrong with trying to get the job done and trying to get the job done well. But isn't there a certain point where it's just a little bit of overkill? As you can tell, I don't have that many perfectionist qualities, but every once in a while, I'll get there myself. So what happens when we become that perfectionist? Is it wrong to be that perfectionist? Well, we have to realize that perfectionism, at least in human standards, sometimes is about control. We want to be in control of a situation. Why? Because it's safe. Because we're the ones in charge. Because as long as we're the ones calling the shots, we don't have to surrender to anyone else's will. We don't have to do things any other way. We can do things our way. So there's a lot of control concepts coming on with the concept of perfectionism. How does that tie into our text? Well, to sort of relate this a little bit, and you're going to have to humor me here, we worship a God who truly is a perfectionist. The God who is holy, without sin, he's done nothing wrong, and he created Adam and Eve, the first parents, so to speak, holy, and perfect. He demands that perfection out of each and every one of us, especially out of his children. The problem comes in, we may think we are perfectionist, but as Scripture reminds us, we all have sinned, we have all fallen short of God's glory. So immediately we are now tossed outside the family of God because of this sin. Hence why Christ was sent. Christ, being true man and true God, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem, lived among us, and that at age 30, because this was to be the time that he would start his public ministry, publicly proclaiming God's word, and you couldn't do that until you were 30 years old, he was then baptized, not because he had sinned, but to show us the way of salvation. But he himself is perfect. We worship a perfect God. How can we worship a perfect God who says, I want you to be with me in paradise, but I don't allow sinners? Plain and simple, what takes place when we are baptized? Yes, we know about the water. We know about the Word of God. And what does that water do? That puts the name of Christ on us. We now bear his name because Christ's name is now on us. And because we bear his name, God the Father looks at each and every one of us, sees Christ, and says, because I know Christ is perfect, you must be perfect and come with me in heaven above. Now, God doesn't do a mind wipe here of all our sins, but instead, he poured out all his anger and wrath, because if you've ever been around a true perfectionist and made a mistake, you also may be seen anger and wrath. He didn't pour out his wrath upon us, but when Jesus died on the cross, God the Father's wrath was poured out. Not the wrath for Christ's sins, because Christ was perfect. The wrath for our sins, because we are imperfect. But now, because we bear the name of Christ, God's wrath is appeased, and we are now with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. So can you live with a perfectionist? You better believe you can live with a perfectionist. But one thing must be able to take place on that perfectionistic part, whether it be for God or for our fellow human beings, and that's the concept of the forgiveness of sins. Because for a perfectionist who has to be in control, everyone must measure up to their standards. And if you measure up to their standards, great, that's fine. So it is with God. If you fulfill the law perfectly, you don't need Christ. Unfortunately, none of us have fulfilled the law perfectly. We need Christ. So it is with living with someone who has these perfectionistic tendencies. There needs to be forgiveness. Otherwise, relationships are destroyed. There is no life. And that forgiveness of sins must take place, whether it be at home or in the community or in the workplace. Otherwise, there is no hope. So God can forgive us our sins because of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who didn't think you're much of a perfectionist, here comes the challenging question. How easy is it for you to forgive the sins of other people? When someone does something wrong against you, obviously they didn't measure up to your expectations. Are you quick to forgive? Or do you want to hang on to that sin? And do you let that sin and that grievance consume you and eat you alive and drive you nuts? A true perfectionist would probably do that. Notice what God did. He didn't allow that sin in our lives to consume us and to throw us out of eternal life, but sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, the wages of sin is death, as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is forgiveness for those who bear the watermark of baptism. But what about you in your life? How easy is it for you to forgive other people? Do we not pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? I hope and pray we actually don't hold God to those terms, because do we truly forgive others? We ourselves may fall into this perfectionistic trap, regardless whether we consider ourselves a perfectionist or others do, just by the fact that we don't forgive other people. Let me share with you something I stumbled across called the South Indian Monkey Trap. I don't know how true it is, but it sounded pretty good. Basically, apparently a lot of villagers in South India had problems with monkeys. Monkeys who would be coming in and probably taking the food, making a mess of things. And so they wanted to, of course, to capture the monkeys and, putting an American spin on it, probably relocate the monkeys. But anyway, how do you capture an elusive monkey? They came up with an ingenious idea for a trap. It involves taking a coconut, hollowing it out, chaining it to something, and putting some rice in the coconut with a very small hole. And why did it have to be a small hole? It had to be small enough so that the monkey could take its hands, sort of scrunch it together like this, and put it in there. And you know when you sort of put your fingers in first, you can sort of squeeze your hand into tight spots. So did the monkey in greed and expectation of getting the rice. But what happens when you grab that fistful of rice and you now try to pull it out? The monkey got stuck. And the monkey then had to decide, do I let go of the rice and gain my freedom, or do I hang on to it? As the Christians, we are faced with the same dilemma. Not necessarily in regards to rice, but what happens when other people sin against us? Do we hang on to that sin and not let go with that perfectionistic quality, saying, someone didn't measure up to my expectations, and until they do, I'm not going to let go? Well, what happens to the monkey then? In the morning, the villagers say, hey, we found a monkey. We can relocate this monkey. What happens if the monkey lets go? He's free. So it is with our perfectionistic attitudes toward the forgiveness of sins, and especially in relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did our Almighty God, who is holy, who is perfect, do? We are sinners. Through the person and work of Jesus Christ, he bore his wrath upon Christ. He lets us go. We are free to be with him in eternal life, not because of anything we have done, but because of what he has done. Now, what about us in our perfectionistic world that we like to create for ourselves? When someone sins against us, are we willing to release them of that and to forgive them and to embrace them as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do we want to hang on to it? If we hang on to it with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, we are becoming this perfectionistic person. And if we are truly perfect from our point of view, why do I need Christ? The more we hang on to other people's sins and not forgive them, the more our heart starts to harden, the less we need a Savior, eventually, in time. Using my monkey analogy, we will be relocated out of the kingdom of God. Are you a perfectionist? There's only one true perfectionist in this world. That's God. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, because we're not perfectionists. We are sinners. Those who believe and trust in the forgiveness of sins that Jesus alone provides. Those who bear his name. Those who belong to him are now part of the family of God and have eternal life. We don't have to worry about some relocation plan to eternal death and damnation, but yet we can be with our Heavenly Father, not because of anything we had done, but because what he has done. It's interesting to note at the end of our text in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, God the Father is speaking and says, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. It's interesting to note that the word pleased in the Gospels is never associated with human beings. Unless if you are the human being who is also true God, Jesus. Is God ever pleased with us? Well, there is an interesting passage that does mention about this in Luke. Jesus mentions it in the Gospel of Luke when it talks about how there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. Let me paraphrase this for the sake of my message for today. There is more rejoicing, or God the Father is pleased, as we confess our sins, realizing our need for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, than over 99 perfectionists who have no need to repent. On this day, as we see the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as he says, I'm doing this to fulfill all righteousness, we realize that's our righteousness being fulfilled. Christ fulfills our righteousness. We come this day confessing our sin, realizing we are not perfectionists, coming before our Lord and saying, yes, Lord, forgive me, and also help me to forgive those around. Because within me, my sinful nature wants to hang on to their sin and not let go. But that may cost me the grace that God gives me. So, Lord, forgive me and strengthen me. Help me to let go other people's sins and grow that faith within me so that I will be with you in eternal life. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.